Good morning, Paula.
Good morning, Philip.
Now, just to start things off, why is sexual harassment still a systematic issue in so many workforces?
Well, it's often an issue of power, it's an issue of gender, and it reflects a broader and persistent inequality between men and women, not only in the field of employment and work, but also across society more broadly. We do see it across a wide range of organisations, but as we've seen in the media in the last year or so with the release of the AFP report and a report at the end of last year in the Victoria Police, that it does seem to be a more entrenched and severe problem in some organisational environments such as policing.
Mm. Well, yeah, the workplace culture obviously makes up a big part of this, as well as all of the gender politics involved. With that, in the inside workplace culture, it seems to be that sexual harassment is seen to be a bit of a standard. What are some of the starting points for reforming a workplace?
Well, you really need to get to the heart of the problem. So a lot of organisations attempt to fix the problem through various compliance measures such as policy and training, and that also protects them from vicarious legal liability down the track. And addressing those two issues in organisations are important, but there's a whole raft of other organisational structures and functions, which we might call culture more broadly, that need to be addressed. So issues such as complaint systems often work very poorly in organisations and need more safe and effective ways for women and some men to report the problem. There's issues around leadership and management, issues around recruitment and retention of women, stronger, more assertive disciplinary procedures and processes, and also addressing the issue of backlash. So really, the deep embedded causes of sexual harassment touch on nearly every aspect of the organisation. They're much more than just about policy and training.
Mm, I see. Well, one idea that does get offered up as part of a reform is hiring and promotion of more women. But it seems that recurrently men's voices are given more weight in the workplace. Given that, do you think it's up to men in leadership roles to try and speak out against issues of sexual harassment in the workplace?
Absolutely. So I'd say firstly to that it's very important to, especially in male-dominated organisations, like in policing or, let's say, the Defence Force, where there was also a relatively recent report on sexual harassment, it is important to increase the numbers of women, not only in the organisation but at senior levels. But we have to remember this is not just a numbers game, that gender inequality is far more complex and deep than we can't simply solve it just by increasing the numbers of women in the organisation. So you're absolutely right. The issue of and line managers are particularly crucial here in calling out poor behaviour, because line managers at local workplace levels are often set the standards for behaviour. So where they see sexist, misogynistic kinds of behaviours, conduct, that really needs to be stamped on and called out early. And line managers, supported by their senior leaders, are really important in making that strategy effective.
Mm. Well, we are, of course, talking about all of this in relation to the AFP, and you brought up the Defence Force as well. Are there any unique characteristics to the sort of sexual harassment that happens within things like the AFP compared to other workplaces?
Yes, there are. So there's some particular aspects of policing which make it a more vulnerable environment to gender equality, sexual harassment, predatory behaviour. And that's because in policing, we tend to see a real emphasis on masculine traits. So to be strong, to be assertive, to minimise one's emotions, even in the face of tragic or frightening instances, those kinds of masculinized behaviors and attributes and characteristics are valorized or put on a pedestal, whereas stereotypically feminine characteristics, which I would argue are also important to being an effective police officer, such as communication, such as being able to deal with vulnerable people in the public, being in tune with other people's emotions, etc. Those kind of characteristics are denigrated or downgraded in the organisation, and this is also part of the embedded picture of how gender equality evolves and is one of the systemic causes of sexual harassment, sex discrimination and predatory behaviour in policing environments in particular.
Mm. Well, yeah, you're right in saying that the more feminine aspects do seem just as vital in the police force as those typically masculine behaviours. Well, the AFP is, of course, all across the country. Does having such, you know, a broad scope make it harder to tackle these sort of issues?
It definitely does. So what you often find in these very large, often quite bureaucratic, very complex organisations is that the problem does not occur consistently across the organisation. So you often see pockets where things are working really well, and then other pockets or other workplaces or other divisions where you see real problems. And again, that's often about the management or the culture or the practices in those particular areas. So these kind of reviews that the AFP have done are very important because they allow the organisation to get a picture across that broad organisational environment about what's going on in a systematic kind of way, using real data, and then to be able to target strategies effectively where they're most likely to be needed.
Mm, okay. Well, one final question before you go is in regard to this report. What do you think is being done, and where's to go next? And is there hope for some sort of developments in how sexual harassment is being approached?
It sounds like the AFP are very committed to changing the organisation. They have raised, in much like in the other reports that have come out, the types of strategies that are required, which are very broad ranging and touch on, as I said, a whole range of organisational functions and processes. But I can't stress enough that this is not an easy thing to do, that these behaviours and conduct are often very deeply entrenched in such organisations, and turning that around requires very strong leadership at the highest level, a lot of resourcing and a very concerted effort over a long period of time in order to effect real change.
Mm. Well, Paula, thanks for joining me this morning. Hopefully, with all of this new information, some real change can be made in the near future.
You're welcome, Philip.
Thanks very much.